Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back. Hey, listen, we've got a returning guest, and I have guests come back, and that means they're good, because if they're not any good or just not fit for you, I don't think you got enough out of it for your the money you're spending to listen to this program, that I won't have them back. But I'm pleased to tell you that Robert Lahr is back, and he is, we need to check, he might be our most repeated guest. So either I'm a glutton for punishment or he's that good. No, he is that good, and there he is. He's president of Synergos Financial Group, co-founder of theretirementproject.org, and robertlahr.com is a website you can check out. The book, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. And Robert is, well, you look up in the dictionary, prolific. He's got his picture there because he is writing all the time. And I'm like, man, how does he have time? Forbes, Financial Advisor Magazine. And he is just, he's out there. I really like what Robert does because he's on the forefront of really getting people to think about retirement, just not the money. It's not just about the money, Robert. It's about a lot of things. And I appreciate your perspective. And of course, that's the whole big part about your Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core, is hitting those points. And I see you make them in a variety of places. So welcome back. And thank you for what you're doing for our listeners and for readers out there. Thanks for shouldering that responsibility.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity. And if it wasn't such a great show, I wouldn't come back.
So well, thank you.
As well.
Thank you very much, and I did not pay Robert for that endorsement. Thank you very much. So listen,
no, but a couple more shows, I might have to ask for some payment. You know, I think it's been.
I might have to change it to Real Money with David Holland and Robert Lahr. All right. So listen, you know what? Let's dive in here. I want to hit one of the things you wrote recently, and I believe it was a Forbes article about why logos are so important to fighting fraud in retirement. And it was kind of an interesting title. I'm like, logos. So like, companies got to have a good logo, look cool. Like my logo needs to be cool to get good retirement advice. But then I, of course, read the article and got what you're talking about. So you're talking about fraud. You're talking about that third party verification thing that nobody really probably understands. So tell us what's going on and what prompted you to write this particular column and article.
I love the show American Greed. They talk about all the financial scams and things people fall for, and how people lose millions of dollars because they met an advisor and they trusted them. And so what people don't really understand is most of the fraud that takes place from advisors, it's from them creating their own statements. And so instead of receiving a statement from a Fidelity, a TD Ameritrade, or some company with a logo that you can reach out and contact, you may find yourself in a very difficult position, because in this day and age, it's very simple to have a client come in or have a prospect come in, feed them, have them move their money, and then if you got a computer and a printer, you can print off whatever you want. It's exactly right. What Madoff did. It's exactly what some of these other scammers do. They just make up the returns, and that's why you have to really pay attention to what's on your logo and to reach out to someone, I guess their thing is a lot of people can only call their advisor to get information.
Mm.
Well, that's good, and you want to be able to reach out to your advisor, but there should be a third party you can also contact just to verify that, make sure everything's going like it's supposed to.
Yeah. Well, you're being kind of gentle with that, Robert. I think it's absolutely imperative that anybody who has an account, that they are getting their statement, their communication about what they've got and where it is from who holds it. So if you've got money held, you think is held at Vanguard, T. Rowe Price, Schwab, Fidelity, Ameritrade, any of these places, then you need to be getting that directly from that company to you in your mailbox or your email box if you've required or requested electronic statements, because even those things can be falsified or created. You know, the technology is such that these documents can be made to be very realistic. Now, to your point about getting statements, I think that's a real red flag if you only get statements directly from the advisor. And I know you're using that word loosely, advisor, because some of these biggest scams that you talk about that you see on American Greed or some of these other shows or you read about, the truth is they're not really advisors. They are often scam artists, and they're masquerading it as an advisor, or they're simply a salesperson. You know, there's a big difference, as you know, Robert, between a salesperson and an actual advisor.
Well, and that's a great point too, because I think a lot of times even people are being sold products that they don't know anything about and can't get information from.
And, that's right.
And this again, you know, the other thing is what's changed so much about the financial services industry is that there's more fee-based planners or someone who can sit down with you to review it. Because a lot of times, and you know this, David, I spend my time when a client comes in, the real reason they come in is because they can't get to the bottom of something. They can't figure something out. They don't know the right questions to ask. And it is. It's your life savings. You want to be a pain in the butt. You want to know what the heck you got. And so you do got to take the time. You do got to take the effort. You do got to ask questions. And you need to be able to reach someone besides your advisor to make sure your account's doing what it's supposed to be.
Amen. Your Honor, I rest my case. In fact, you know what? Back to the Bernie Madoff. You know, the whole – people ask me sometimes, David, how in the world did Madoff do this such massive fraud? And, you know, what's interesting is it's not really about the magnitude of the dollars that were, you know, that were involved in the situation. You know, some estimates I know some of the money's been recovered, but it ended up being something like a $50 billion fraud, and billion with a B. And where a lot of that emanated from, of course, is that he had a network and he had a lot of people out there gathering assets for him. And because he was, you know, presenting falsified statements and falsified returns, and these things were projected and they were all made up, make it what you want. But the real heart of it, how the fraud occurred, was so simple. It simply was he had control, he had custody, he had the ability to pretty much control the whole thing. And that's where anybody who hires any advisor to do anything, you never want the advisor to have the actual custody of your assets, because when you get those two things together, that's where, you know, there can be problems. Because if I'm holding the money at Fidelity, for example, that I'm advising and managing for my client, I can't just tell Fidelity, give me the money, or I can't play games with the statement that client receives from Fidelity.
Exactly. And that's a big thing, making sure that your email is on the account, your address, because again, a distribution check, you don't want them to be able to change that address without your signature. And so it's really being conscious about this stuff. And if you feel like you're in a tough situation, to contact someone who can do some research for you. You know, because again, one of the guys on the show, American Greed, was writing promissory notes. So yeah. He was taking people's money,
right,
writing personal promissory notes. And, you know, those are just red flags. And again, one problem with this industry is we're all profiled before we get into the business. They want to make sure we're fun, we're outgoing, we're energetic people, we're easy to get along with, we're trustworthy. And so the personality of most advisors is such that, yeah, you want to work with this person, but you got to do the extra work. You want to make sure they got credentials, that they're licensed, and there's tools and resources to do that. And to protect yourself, you got to know it.
Yeah, affable is wonderful. Charisma is wonderful. But, you know, that doesn't get you very far if they don't know what they're doing or they are not reputable or trustworthy. You know, I always tell people that you need to like your advisor, you need to believe they know what they're talking about, and you got to trust them, and you better have all three, because if you don't, you're going to have a problem.
Well, and real quick, too, I wrote an article several years ago about, you know, one of the, this is not meant to be negative, but people sometimes assume that a civic group or a church, that just because you've met your advisor through that program makes them credible or reputable, or, you know, in this case, I was watching American Greed, the guy was part of a religious organization.
Of course.
And that's how he poached everybody. And so you can't just trust the person where you met him. Like you said, you got to kind of follow through that trust, but you got to do some background research and you got to look for red flags.
Well, that's affinity fraud, and you go where the money is. You know, if you're going to go deer hunting, you don't put your deer stand in the parking lot.
Right.
You go put it in the woods where the deer are, and where, you know, you actually scout and you know where they are and you know their patterns. And that's why they're in the churches and they're in other places like that. You know, one final comment about Bernie Madoff. He's still in jail, right? He's serving like a 5,000-year sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hear that he's coming out with a duet with Janet Jackson. It's called Control. The story's about control, my control, control of what I say, control of what I do. And this time I'm going to do it my way. I hope you enjoy this as much as I do. Are you ready? Because it's all about control, and I've got lots of it. That's the beginning line of her Control. I'm dating myself a little bit with Janet Jackson, but in any event, I'm glad you're with us, Robert. Good stuff. Let's grab a break. We come back. We'll continue our conversation with Robert Lara, a great guest, as you can see, robertlara.com, retirementproject.org, and the book, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
Hey, we're back. Robert Lara on the line. So, Robert, let's shift gears. I know you have some other things in no particular order. While we're talking about really kind of some of this drama, let's go to the other one, article you recently wrote, Retirement Courtroom Drama. And, you know, talk to me about what's going on with your, you know, I know you've got a funny story, or entertaining, I guess, is the better word. But talk to me about what people make this transition into and through retirement. Again, it's not just about the numbers. It's not just about having enough, although that's very, very important. You're not going to be very happy if you run out of money, but and it's also about a lot of other things that can really affect people's experiences in retirement and these emotions they feel. So, you know, give us where you're coming from on that, because I think it's really helpful for people to hear that.
Well, and I think there's a lot of feelings that can go with retirement, and people don't think about or plan for these things. You know, in my personal situation, I've had the opportunity to be a courtroom expert, a financial expert for a couple court cases, mostly divorce cases. And in one case, I did a bunch of work, and I was going to go, you know, on my way to the courtroom. And basically, when you're in a courtroom situation, they have to prove that you're an expert. And so the attorney who hired me was reading off my credentials, my experience, and accolades, you know, a bunch of stuff. Halfway through it, the husband stops and just blurts out, "I don't know as much as this guy. I did hide the money. There's about $280,000 I didn't disclose."
Wow.
And so it was a bizarre, it's not supposed to happen that way. Or, you know, the judge kind of calls him up to the bench and encourages him to go out to the hallway and work together on this, because he had been the whole time saying the money did not exist. And so he comes clean. And of course, for me, I mean, talk about easy money. You know, I'd spent some time, you know, working on the court case, and then I didn't have to testify. I literally did not say a word outside of, raising my hand and say I would follow, you know, the rules and tell the truth. And, you know, I pocket this money. But it's kind of it's a great metaphor for retirement, because, you know, at the core, I was complaining about the work prior to it. I was saying, well, you know, I shouldn't have signed up for this. I didn't really want to do it. And then, of course, I get the money. I'm joking with people that the easiest money I ever made. But part of me wanted to testify. You know, I wanted to tell them all the things I found and how I tracked down the assets and where it was and what happened. But I didn't get that chance. And it's symbolic of all the emotions that people can also have about retirement. They may complain about their job before quitting, or they may feel that they've worked so hard they just want to give it up. And they may want to be done with it, but then miss part of it. And it's important to point out that those are very common emotions and things people really have to consider when they make the transition, to understand they're going to go through these ebbs and flows and think very differently about their decision. But the important part is it's okay, and it's part of the process.
Wow. Thank you, Robert. That's, you know, it is something people have to really be just aware. And, you know, to your courtroom experience, that's good to know. If I have anybody I know that's having that kind of situation, they'll just, you know, throw your name into the mix, and they'll just go they'll go running for the woods. So it's good to have that kind of all power when you walk into a courtroom.
Yeah, just, you know, it was a funny experience, you know. And again, the in the end, it worked out well. And that's, again, how it needs to be looked at, you know. In the end, as long as you're aware of this stuff, aware of some of these emotions, because a lot of times, too, just, you know, when, even when you're on a diet or other things, if you're going through these emotions of, like, I'm working hard, I haven't lost this weight, but you got to keep plugging through those times, and you're going to have these emotions where you question, should I have left, or now I missed something to complain about it. it's okay. You got to work through those, and in the end, things are going to work out.
Well, you know, speaking of that, Robert, that actually ties in very nicely to another one of the things that you know, you'd written about, quenching retirement's many thirsts. And, you know, some people race toward retirement kind of like running a race. And, you know, they start out very often as some runners will do. They start out running too fast, too soon. They feel too good. They're excited. They're amped up. And they jump right into and start running the race of retirement, and or maybe running into retirement as they are finishing their working careers, and they've gone out too fast. And so, you know, what would you say to people that are, let's break it down two ways. First, let's talk about people that are pre-retirement, the baby boomers, the people in has been called the red zone, kind of that, what I call the crunch time. You've got 5 to 10 years to retirement, and it's really these next 5 to 10 years are really critical. What do you say to people about, you know, that because a lot of people are fixated, and I think to some degree they should be, but they're very fixated on their financial accumulation and what they're doing to prepare for retirement. Again, it's crunch time. What do you say to them about kind of the rest of being ready for retirement?
I think the crucial thing people need to understand is the ingredients that create a successful retirement also create a successful life leading up to retirement. And I often say that first we make our habits, and then when our habits make us. And so people often compartmentalize their retirement. They compartmentalize, I'm going to focus, I'm going to diligently save, I'm going to invest, I'm going to have the right asset allocation, we're going to have the right amount of money, we're going to have the house paid off. But you have to have that same discipline and habits in your personal life, with your relationships, because you may have enough money, house is paid off, perfect asset allocation, but you don't have a relationship with your kids, or you and your spouse have grown apart, or you don't have a hobby or passion to help replace your work identity. You don't have a workout regimen. There's no magical dust that sprinkles over you when you retire that makes you happy, motivated, outgoing, friendly. Doesn't happen. It's not there. You have to cultivate that in the process. And so it is crunch time for saving and investing, but it's also crunch time to start thinking about the type of life you want to lead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's exactly right. Because a lot of times people put off some of these other parts, and you really can't go back and say, okay, now I'm retired. Let me go back. And, you know, I had a friend in high school. I think I'll be friends with him now, or her. And, you know, I'll make a friend tomorrow. I mean, it's like some of these things, they need to be already part, especially if when somebody has so much of their relationships, social networking, social investments and social activities tied to their workplace.
Well, and I mean, great question for people to ask themselves. When's the last time you made a new friend? It's not something people do consciously as they get older. They get around this group of people, and a lot of it, forced relationships at work. You've got to talk to people and interact. It's very natural. But in retirement, it becomes unnatural. You've got to find ways to insert yourself. And if you haven't inserted yourself in other people's lives, doesn't mean you're going to be welcome all of a sudden because you got nothing else to do.
Fair enough. That's exactly the point. Well, that's why you're here, Robert Lara, ladies and gentlemen. And you can go to the website, robertlara.com, retirementproject.org. The book is Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. Quick break. Right back with Robert.
When it comes to finding a financial advisor you can trust, do you know the right questions to ask? David Holland has written a popular book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy. Or if you want to meet one-on-one with David to talk about your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book with no cost, no obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit PlanStronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@PlanStronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Robert Lara on the line with us. RobertLara.com, RetirementProject.org, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. That's the book. And Robert, continuing my survey of your recent Forbes and other articles that you have, I also came across one that was kind of interesting. This is back from the beginning of October. Reading your employee handbook can pay off in a big way. So people are ready to retire or thinking about it or, you know, somewhere in that process. And but there might be something they're missing out on or not paying, maybe not, maybe overlooking as it relates to their retirement, something buried deep in the fine print of the employee handbook that they may not know that they got a benefit that they can take advantage of when they are ready to retire?
Well, and I think this is really important because, again, a lot of people kind of assume, well, I'm retiring, so I'm done, and I'm just going to turn in my paperwork, and I'm picking this date because it's symbolic to me because I started on October 11th or I started on December 12th, so that's going to be my end date too. Well, you know, in one case in particular, I was talking to a gentleman, and what he was going to retire on December 31st, just at the end of the year, be done, and head into 2016 retired. Well, he's talking with his boss and read his employee handbook, and if he had worked through the end of January, he would be eligible for his 7 weeks of retirement, 7 weeks of vacation pay. By him delaying, he basically got 4.5 months worth of income from his bonus and other things. And so it's looking at things like that. Another couple was struggling with their retirement decision and again found that they've got the opportunity for a leave of absence for up to 6 months. And so instead of just saying, I quit, I'm done, and making the emotional decision, they were able to buy some time, let her adapt to kind of this transition, and figure out if she wanted to actually quit, find something part-time. And so you gotta, I encourage people to look for what you have and to use it instead of making some just an emotional decision.
Yeah, because, you know, I really especially like the point you made, Robert, about that timing thing, because I've had a lot of people say, well, you know what, my 30 years is, you know, April 15th or something like that. And, well, okay, but what if we wait to your next birthday, or what if we wait until, you know, your next anniversary, or what if we wait till the next calendar year? A lot of times that has made a significant difference. In fact, this is where, of course, the decision to walk out needs to be done in concert with an actual retirement plan, because I've had situations where if the person had worked maybe another 6 months, it would have made a really big difference. Social Security, drawing on pensions, a lot of other things, getting the money pre-59 and a half, all that. And this is just where you don't make that decision about when you retire in a bubble.
Exactly. And it's not really a lunchroom conversation either, you know, so you might talk to your buddies, but it is about talking to your boss or human resources, find out what your eligible options are. And again, this is just where, that's where you want to have that planning part, you know, but turn the planning part over to a financial advisor so that you can focus on your relationships, your health, getting to the gym, eating healthy, and cultivating those other habits, because it's stuff we do. We're happy to read through those books and kind of see or contact people. Use the resources and focus on yourself.
Hey, that's a good point, Robert. I can't work out for you at the gym, but I can work out your financial plan.
You got it.
Yeah. Smart. Clever. Like it. All right. So we've got a couple minutes here. I want to get to another subject, which is not as fun, but maybe you can help us understand it a little bit better. And another article from Forbes you wrote back in also, well, actually, this is very recent, on the 24th of October. And you wrote about the average American may never retire, but that's okay. So first, let's start with, why is that okay, Robert? Come on now. Everybody expects to retire, and that's what's been held out in all these different financial circles, and why you need to do this and why you need to do that, and you are entitled, doggone it, the world owes you that somehow, some way, and you know, it's yours for the taking. So how is that wrong? How is that for a devil's advocacy?
The American dream. I mean, really, retirement's portrayed as the ultimate goal in life, and people strive, they do whatever it takes to get there. But what's interesting is, and people talk about how retirement has changed, but they can't articulate it. And so what they need to understand is that for the first time, what has changed about retirement is it's dynamic. And so it's evolving. It used to be that retirement was an end. It means you stopped working. You're done. But the fact of the matter is people are living longer, and they need stuff to do. Now, that doesn't mean you want to stay at the job or the career that you've been in for the last 30 or 40 years. But you're going to have to find ways to stay relevant, connected, engaged in the community, ability to socialize, interact with people. And so the fact that the idea that you have to save enough money to sit around and do nothing for the last 30 or 40 years of your life is preposterous. And so by that measure, the average American probably can't do that, and it's okay because most people are finding ways to dabble with, you know, not-for-profits or
right.
start their own business or to work part-time or something that means so much to them. And so that's been the big change, and that's why it's okay. Is you're going to have to find stuff to do. It's not going to hurt you mentally, socially, and physically. You can also put some money in your pocket as well.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think a lot of people also, of course, especially baby boomers, is, of course, you know, the baby boomers are affecting every aspect of our society practically that they touch as they age and, you know, franchise, for example, or something else. So, you know, I would also, again, caution people that if they're going to get involved with a business or start a business as a second career or in retirement, just to, you know, don't bet everything on, you know, this new venture that they don't have anywhere near the experience with. You know, you go start flipping houses or buying up franchises or any of those things. And I read the other day, and I'm sure you're on top of this, Robert, because this is just what you do, that the, you know, wasn't that long ago that we were welcoming the first baby boomer to retirement. Now I think we're closing in on the first baby boomers touching 70.
No fair asking hard questions, but I think should be, because what, it's 46 to 64.
Yeah, so there you go. So 46 will put him at 70. Isn't that amazing? I mean, who would have thought, right? I see 1946 on somebody's information when I'm reviewing with them, and I'm actually going, wait a minute. That's 70. Good grief.
Right.
When did that
right.
happen?
Right.
I guess we're all getting older, Robert.
You bring up a good point, because, you know, just like everyone else, no matter if you're 40, 50, 60, or 70, you generally, you know, still picture yourself being, you know, 10 or 20 years younger. And
that's
really something that baby boomers have cultivated. And you're correct about a business or other things. And I think people need to look at retirement and starting a business in retirement. We're transitioning very differently. You don't have to start the next Apple or invent a light bulb or spend all your money on a franchise, but focus more on something you're passionate about. And that way, if it does require some work, it won't feel like it.
There you go. Robert Lara, ladies and gentlemen, president of Cerner Ghost Financial Group, robertlara.com, retirementproject.org, Naked Retirement, stripping it to the core. Thank you, Robert. You're always a great guest. Thanks for coming back.
Appreciate the time. Look forward to it again.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.